good morning. A city council day today on the talk show. Linda Graham Murray is joining us.
Good morning.
And she is there. And we've also got Robert Kreitzer. Robert is joining us for the first time. And I'm going to ask, Linda, could you put your mic down just a little bit? Just pull that down just a little bit. There you go. Yeah, pull
it.
There you go. Okay.
Segregated out because it's a short thing, I know.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Okay, Colin Letty also across there. We're talking city business council meeting. A number of the council members, I believe, and the mayor, I believe, is one of them. And I believe that the city manager also at Southeast Iowa Days in Des Moines. You guys are the, I'm not saying you're the leftovers, but I'm saying, but it's, you
yes.
are.
Yes, you're correct, Steve. They went to, up to Des Moines to Southeast Iowa Days, and it breaks my heart that I can't be there. The student issues that they're going to be hearing about today are pretty passionate to me. So what is
Southeast Iowa Days is designed to what? Try to, I guess, lobby legislators about the issues that are of most importance to Southeast Iowa. And I'm going to guess roads, bridges, those sorts of things are all. And speaking of bridges, how about Cascade Bridge? No, we're not going to bring that.
Thank you.
Cascade Bridge, there has been a couple of meetings on Cascade Bridge. I guess there was another. Is there another meeting coming up as far as you know, Colin? Is that?
Not as far as I know. There was one meeting the Friends of Cascade Bridge had where they presented their independent findings.
Okay.
But as far as future meetings go, I haven't heard anything yet.
And there's been the engineering study, no new engineering study has been presented, right?
Just 2012, yeah. That was
right.
The last
2012,
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the Friends of Cascade did release their findings, and so we've looked at their numbers and the information they've given us. So,
What is the bottom line on their numbers?
Well, I wish I would have brought the packet with me.
Give me a ballpark estimate.
I'm wanting to say that they talking $4 million and some change. They stapled this thing back.
I believe it was somewhere between $4 and $8 million, somewhere in that ballpark.
So
this would be to renovate the current bridge. Is that right?
Right, and that's what they want to do, or they want to do like a ceramic coating around it. You know, there's some. Concerns that there might still be some lead paint somewhere on there. So if you blast the whole thing, you got to have that environmental concern where you got to contain all that. So I will tell you the good news about their numbers is that when we go to bid out, when we want to build a bridge, that we can look at their numbers and say, well, they were talking about this cost. And, you know, if we don't use the company that they have
right.
in mind, well, maybe that'll help us get a bridge for a lower cost. I don't know. I think some good will come from this.
Okay, but there's no. It was originally on the 2024.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're still planning on.
Okay.
If we want to get a grant, we got to let the Tagger grant expire first. And so for us to get another grant, usually they don't let you have any overlap or even consecutive, like back-to-back grants. It's hard to do. But, you know, right now Burlington's got the ball rolling and we're doing good things. So I hope that we'll be recognized for our progress. And I hope that, you know, especially when we're doing sewer work at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're doing multiple jobs at once and it's going to save money and it makes sense to do it then, I don't know why anybody would tell us no.
Okay. A lot of things on the plate. We've got, Burlington Memorial Auditorium has been in the news, a proposal at least, a kind of a working proposal, basically putting a hotel that would be located between the port and the auditorium has been sort of been put on the back burner. Is that right?
I'm going to step in here talk about a couple of things. I saw at the work session on Monday there were some proposed plans presented that showed between the auditorium and the port there was like a park area and a splash pad that was proposed sketches, for lack of a better term, that were presented. Any word or updates on any decisions?
So as part of the Tagger grant, you know, they were looking at the green space. They were looking at a splash pad. They were looking at a little band space behind.
Right.
So what the gentleman that gave the proposal to us to, he was trying to figure out if we put a hotel in the middle of all that, where everything would have to move, if that's the direction we're going. So he presented several different plans about where to put the shade, where to put the green space. I do know they're like taking one of the train tracks out, so we're going to have a little extra parking.
Wasn't there a seating or a grand? I'm not sure grandstand is the right word, but there was some
amphitheater.
Amphitheater yes. seating. Yeah. Okay.
And that could be awesome, really, if you think about weddings and community projects that you could do. And I really am excited about this project, Steve, because I think we could revitalize our underutilized Memorial Auditorium.
Okay, now where would the amphitheater seating be?
I believe, Steve, it would come out the back of the auditorium.
Okay.
So really enhance that building's ability to bring some top acts in. If we can fit more people in, and
I think it's between the river and the building.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I know one of the things that people are concerned about is parking. You're going to put all these things and you're going to take away my parking. And I want to reassure people that only about 15 parking stalls will be lost if we do all this renovation.
So you're saying that the amphitheater would be on the eastern side of the auditorium, is that right?
Okay. Yeah, and then
the back of it would be the riverfront, right?
Like the south side of it would still be parking, right?
Well, I'm just thinking if you're east side of the auditorium, you'd be having, parking if you had amphitheater seating.
Yeah, the amphitheater's here, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, okay. However they design it, it's going to be between the auditorium and the river.
And there's also a proposal, at least there was a proposal talked about, at least, to expand seating and to reduce seating within the actual building to increase capacity. I don't know how much of an increase they were looking at. It first started out being double, but it's obviously that's going to be a very hard thing to do.
It's definitely a big issue because, like we've discussed multiple times, the auditorium is a tough nut to crack when it comes to reconstruction because of how it's constructed.
Tough, to say tough would be an understatement.
But also, by the same token, I understand the thought process behind it because certain acts require to be paid a certain amount of money, and without enough heads coming through the door, you're not able to pay those acts to come to the city to perform. And another big point of contention with this I'd like to get your opinions about is the whole hotel thing. We get calls about this all the time on our Monday, Thursday shows. People are staunchly against this hotel idea on the riverfront. I just want to get your guys' take on this potential hotel plan.
I think from an economic standpoint, it definitely makes sense. I mean, I know our community doesn't like to be compared to other communities, but in communities that are smaller than our size, like Weatherford, Oklahoma, they maximized what the riverfront could do and brought in $8 million a year, Dubuque $10 million a year. That's an economic impact. I just think we can't just say, oh, I'd never stay in that hotel. And that's what I hear from locals, and I have to remind them that the hotel is not for you. You have a wonderful bed that you lay your head on your own pillow.
Right.
This is for visitors. This is to maximize the economic impact of our riverfront that has been sorely underutilized for decades.
I think the big point of contention with this and why people are so against it is it's mostly purely aesthetic, is that they think it'd just be a huge eyesore on our riverfront and don't put it there. And
right,
I guess I think that the reality is that we don't have there's been no architect's drawing, there's been no proposal specifically stating where exactly it's going to be,
There's no set in stone plan of when and where it's going to go.
And no set in stone plan, exactly. So we're speculating on something that has not even been officially proposed, right?
So when I spoke to the developers, I addressed that concern, and I said, you guys are telling us this is what you want to do, this is where we're going to grow, but you don't have any real plans. And they assured me that they want to work on the auditorium first and get that to grow, and then when there's a need for the hotel, that's when they want to build.
And the auditorium is, you said, a tough nut to crack. Well, the walls are some places 2 feet thick on that auditorium.
Well, it's that old Art Deco style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know some people are really passionate about that.
Well, it was built in 1937. Part of it was built. It was built by the Works.
It was a Navy training center.
It was a WPA, Works Progress Administration. It was also designed, or its size and its the way that the dimensions of the auditorium they are basically designed to be very similar to a battleship.
Yeah, but I think redoing seating in there was probably going to be a must at some point.
Redoing seating,
because for those
yes.
of you who have been in the auditorium, the seating is...
it basically is the same. It's the same type of seating that they had when they put it in 1937.
Wow.
Now, it's not
right.
the same seating.
Things have changed.
But it's the same width and the same basic. They have replaced some of that. But so we're looking at...
We gave a year extension to give us a better plan.
And to also mm-hmm. Figure out how are you going to be able to do any major remodeling on a building that has such extremely challenging, thick walls that would have to be, if you're going to, it's not like moving a wall easy with in a new building or trying to have enough event space, because most of the modern facilities, whether we, up in Cedar Rapids or Des Moines or even Bridgeview Center in Ottumwa, they have modular systems that you can easily move things around and have 60 or 70 vendors in an area and still have your seating. But that's something, I guess, that I don't have the answer to, and I don't think anybody else does.
We're just going to have to wait.
I'm confident, though, that it will be a positive thing for our community. And after discussing meeting with the Jensen Riverfront people, they reassure us that, quote, we're not going to be blocking the view. We're going to be enhancing the view. And I've seen what they've done in Dubuque, and I'm confident in their abilities.
So
and I think people need to sit tight and not panic.
Do they have the hotel? Is it their hotel that's running in Dubuque?
They were part of that renovation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So I guess we'll have to, one of those wait-and-sees type of things that we're talking about.
Yeah, see the sketches, see the schematics, and then make our decision after we see that.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Robert Kreitzer and Linda Graham Murray are our guests. We'll be back with more of the talk show. We're going to talk a little bit about the whole budget process, where it all sorted out and how it got sorted out, all of that and more right after this.
The anticipation of getting to the arena. The goosebumps hit you as the lights go down and the starting lineups are announced. The epic throwdown and the buzzer beater for the win. Don't miss a beat right here.
The Hawks travel to Indiana Thursday night at 6:30. Brought to you by Casebine Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo and Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
We stand for peace.
Farm Bureau works every day to create a vibrant future for agriculture, farm families, and our communities, benefiting Iowans from all walks of life, like Farm Bureau member Jeremy Atwood.
Growing up in high school, I was fortunate enough to receive the local county Farm Bureau scholarship that helped me in tuition costs when I went to Iowa State. We've doubled that scholarship and now offer two scholarships. Knowing that Farm Bureau is there and looks out for the interests of agriculture, I am very optimistic about the future of farming. Someday when my boys decide to return to the farm or help me in the farm, I know the Farm Bureau will still be there looking out for the best interests of the local farmer. Farm Bureau is a great leader when it comes to looking at all issues connected with rural agriculture in Iowa.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, a century strong and growing. To become a member, call your local county Farm Bureau today.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Play Best Fiends, the 5-star rated puzzle game. Okay, it doesn't rhyme, but this game is way more lovable than all that mushy Valentine's Day stuff. It's got more than 4,000 fun levels, tons of cute characters, and it's been downloaded over 100 million times. Look, they even have a sweet, heart-filled Valentine's Day theme. Love that. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
It's time for some straight talk. Some choices don't require a brain, like getting the new iPhone 11 with the ultra-wide camera. Do you want an expensive plan with a contract or an affordable plan with no contract? Like I said, a no-brainer. Why pay more for the same network? Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get a plan that's up to half the cost of big carriers, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Looking for a special way to celebrate your sweetheart? Get your tickets now for the Pizzazz Big Band Series Valentine's Day Soiree. February 14th, starting at 6 p.m. in the Pizzazz Event Center. Tickets are $80 per couple and include two surf and turf plated dinners and musical entertainment provided by the Bullis Rudder Band. Call 753-2946 for reservations or visit thepizzazz.com. Pizzazz, many destinations, one amazing place.
Welcome back on the talk show today. Robert Kreitzer, city council member. Linda Graham Murray, city council member, joining us today. And yes, we're talking about city business. Robert had his first go around with the budgeting process. And I guess
he survived.
He survived. I'm still here. Most of the past members of the city council, I know, Linda, we talked about that, I think, last year. That budget process is rather exhausting and really intense, how many meetings did you guys have?
Two a week, at least.
For how long?
All of January,
okay. So,
and they're not like an hour long, they're like 3 hours
long. Like double meetings.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So a lot of time was spent, the budget, and your own, I guess, opinion of how you came out. Basically, we came out with a balanced budget, right?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Seriously. You know, Jim and all the department managers do such a good job that when they present to you and tell you what their needs are and what they want and where they move stuff around and how to make it work, they put so much effort into it, it actually makes our job a little easier to review all that information. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about the people that work in Burlington. I think that we probably have one of the best city staffs anywhere.
Okay, as you look back at the budget process, were there any controversial issues, or did you have any debates over things that we keep in or keep out or whatever?
Yeah, Steve, there were a couple departments that requested more staff, and then you have to maybe go visit that department, see the intricate details of what that, you know, allocating those tax dollars to an extra position would entail. So that was a little difficult sometimes to make that,
okay,
that final call.
The sustainability. So we don't want to hire someone for 1 year.
Right.
So we might have the money to bring them on, get them trained, get their equipment, and then only keep them for a year, which isn't fair. So we also have to consider long-term, how do we hire that person and then keep them employed indefinitely.
Well, I know that we also are facing, or you were facing, declining funds coming in on the SAFER grant, which was, I believe, what was set up to fund, that was set up to fund firefighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So finding the money to replace those funds, because it's been in a declining structure, hasn't it? I mean, the fiscal structure where you keep getting less money as well off of that grant, right?
Right. So, it expired. The SAFER grant's gone. There were plans to kind of fill the spots available and to keep it going with a certain – I don't think we let anybody go, did we?
I don't believe so.
Yeah,
through national retirement. Attrition,
okay.
Yeah, that's the
okay.
word I look for,
so
attrition
we
and
were
retirement.
Filling in for the ones that were going to retire.
And no change. I know you had one small change, I believe, in the police station where a part-time evidence person became a full-time evidence
person.
Yeah,
they needed
one really bad, so I actually spent some time touring that position, spent some time down at the police station to see intricately what this individual would do, where the shortages were, where the lapses were, where the labor was definitely needed. And we could all clearly see that was definitely a need.
And then Chief Kramer said she's a real talent, and she caught on so quick that these are dollars that we're wisely spending, that she's so good at it that all she really needs is just more time to get that backfill caught up, that backlog of of evidence to bring it current. Mm-hmm. So he said that she's the one for the job, and he's real proud of her progress. So
yeah,
we've definitely got behind
and Robert's right, and she's dealing with time-sensitive stuff when you're dealing with a major
right.
crime case. So it was very prudent that information was expedited quickly.
All right. I know that downtown parking and some of those things have also been issues at expanding people. Well, we have a challenge where we have more new residents moving to the downtown. In fact, it's the fastest growing area in the city. We have new projects. The Tama building will be under construction or gradually under construction. There's another housing apartment complex that will be, I believe, down on the south side. Is that right? South side of
fire station.
By the fire. Is it by the fire station?
It's across the street, right?
Yeah,
by the
Hope Haven old building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then,
okay.
And then there's a developer looking at the old police station. And that would be a mix of commercial and residential space.
Okay, so more people moving in and more needs for people to have places to put cars and things like that. Any change in parking or any change, any plans on changing parking or, I guess, what, making parking lots, I guess, more accessible? Or?
Yeah, Steve, some of the entities that are building these development units, they have parking already.
Okay.
And then another thing to keep in mind that it does cost on average $29 a day to drive, own, operate a vehicle. So that's going to be cost prohibitive for millennials. As they start to gather downtown, as they start to assimilate downtown, as they start to live downtown, they're going to say, I don't need a car. I can grab a Lyft. I can grab the bus. I can save up
money. We just need more Lyfts and more.
Yeah. So as we think futuristically today, does our Burlington lifestyle revolve around the automobile? Yes. Yes, it does revolve around the car.
Yeah.
In the future, will it? No. So we need to keep that in mind and not overdevelop parking lots. In the future, it's going to be very costly to maintain and not good for the environment.
I usually just ride my bike around most places.
There you go, Colin.
An issue that...
you sound like Steve.
Getting there.
I don't ride my bike to work. That's I draw the line there. It's at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's just a little bit too... I feel a little bit that it's too a little too dangerous.
You might hit a raccoon or something, Steve.
I'll usually ride my bike to work in the summertime.
All right. Well, that's another story. Well, I think the big issue is, so you're saying that as more people move downtown, that there should not be any major problem because the places that are building...
They account for parking.
Accounting for parking as part of the
plan. Speaking of parking, there's an issue I want to get an opinion about. The issue with the parking with the senior center and the parking passes, more developments on that?
So I pitched the idea of maybe expanding the times for the handicap stalls. So I think it's 2 hours for downtown parking. I think that a nice compromise would be to double the time for handicap spots to 4 hours. Then it's fair. It's across the board. Any business would be able to take advantage of that with their handicap customers. And then... you know, there is free parking right behind the Steamboat Center for the senior citizens. So in my mind, the way they were talking about it, I was like imagining like this real steep grade that we were walking up. And you know, I've been downtown. I went back there and looked, and it's a real gentle slope. And there's handicapped spots right there. And I think that for the ones that are struggling to make it up the hill, if that's the issue, they're right on the corner. They'll be fine, and they can park for an extended period of time if we use that as a
So you're saying it's not really an issue is what you're telling me.
Well, let's not start that.
Well, okay. Steve, I initially served as the city's liaison on the senior center committee, and initially they asked for 30 passes. Well, I knew that was not going to fly, and now they're asking for 8, and I am passionate that they should receive those 8 passes.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to be housed down there long term, but I think in the next year or two they deserve to have those 8 dedicated spots. I just was down there over the noon hour yesterday, and there's lots of parking down
okay.
there. That block was not an issue. Now you go up further by Lindo, hopefully yours, yes, parking was an issue, but not in the 500 block where the senior center. And typically seniors have been a marginalized group. They may not be the loudest voice in the room, but they may be the wisest voice in the room. And they deserve an advocate, and they deserve those eight dedicated spots.
She's the heart
spots.
Of the council.
And there was a point of contention apparently between what was decided by the board of the senior center and also by the members of the senior center regarding moving to the depot and utilizing the former Greer's diner area and having the great room. That was basically nixed.
Yeah, we all voted that down. They voted unanimously to not relocate, and they had concerns about moving their pool tables and their chairs and all their other stuff, and then having to shuffle them around too.
Okay.
So they're welcome to stay where they're at, and we'll try to figure out what we can do to help them. And, yeah, I love senior citizens, too. We're all going to be one someday, I hope. Yeah.
Some of us are one.
Yeah, the depot was just a short-term fix, and we knew that didn't meet their needs.
And then
and we wanted to fix up the other end and get that really nice for them.
Nick also brought up the fact that you can ride the bus for a dollar token. So they can get dropped off right at the door. They can get picked up right at the door. If they make arrangements, or a bus pass for the month is like $25, and they can ride as much as they want. So again, with Linda talking about, how much it costs to use a vehicle and to drive, it might be just as easy to take the bus.
And actually, more economical, but also better for the city, too.
Mm-hmm. Better for the environment, so yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news. We've got more city council members, Linda Graham-Murray and Robert Kreitzer, along with Colin Letty, and yours truly, Steve Exum. We'll be taking your phone calls as well, 754-1490, anything and everything, and more after this.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The DMC Regional Waste Commission, including the DMC Regional Landfill, the Area Recyclers Facility, the HazChem Center, and the Recycle2U Gift Shop, will be open for regular hours on President's Day. Curbside recycling will be collected as usual for Burlington area residents. Please remember to have your recycling sorted and placed curbside with at least one green Area Recyclers container by 7:30 a.m. to ensure collection. Curbside recycling schedules can be obtained via the Waste Commission's website. On Tuesday, Senator Tom Green announced he will retire from the Iowa State Senate after the end of his first term. Senator Green was born and raised in Burlington. Senator Green is a graduate of Drake University and was a pharmacist in Burlington for over 40 years. In the past, Senator Green has served as president of the Burlington School Board, past chairman of the Greater Burlington Partnership, and served on the partnership's Legislative Affairs Committee. He has also been a member of the Burlington New Lions Club since 1997. The third annual Baxter Sports Complex Social Tour and Auction Fundraiser will be held on Saturday, February 29th at Baxter Sports Complex in Fort Madison, beginning at 1 p.m. The social tour will proceed to River Rocks Bar and Grill, Kinnick South, Buffalo 61 Bar and Grill, Fort Madison Elks Lodge, and ultimately end at Baxter Sports Complex, where dinner will be provided by Wilson Brothers Barbecue and Catering at 6, with a live auction beginning around 7. Tickets are $40 in advance, which includes transportation, one free drink at each location, and dinner. The auction portion of the fundraiser is open to the public. Tickets are available at River Rocks Bar and Grill, Kinnick South, Buffalo 61 Bar and Grill, the Fort Madison Elks Lodge, as well as the Baxter Sports Complex and the Fort Madison Chamber Office. Iowa lawmakers introduced a right-to-die bill on Tuesday. They say the bill will allow terminally ill Iowans with 6 months or less to live to have the right to ask for help ending their life. Patients could ask doctors for medication that would allow them to die peacefully in their sleep. Some doctors say assisted suicide goes against the code of medical ethics, while others support a patient's right to choose. 9 states and the District of Columbia have already passed similar laws. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The Democratic Party presidential race moves on to Nevada next, with Bernie Sanders the winner in New Hampshire.
This victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Pete Buttigieg about just a percentage point behind Senator Sanders in New Hampshire. Amy Klobuchar pretty close third, way ahead of Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. There's progress in peace talks with the Taliban, according to a tweet from the Afghan president Ashraf Ghani after a phone call with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Fox's Simon Owen reports.
The Taliban threatening to walk away from peace talks with the U.S., demanding a decision on an offer the militant group has made for a seven-day reduction in violence in Afghanistan. That's short of a full ceasefire. The ultimatum coming after weeks of negotiations aimed at ending America's 18-year war.
The Taliban controls or has strong influence in about half of Afghanistan. America's listening to Fox News.
Come enjoy the warmth and hospitality of an authentic Irish pub right here in Burlington. Kelly O'Shea's restaurant features seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, appetizers, and delicious nightly specials. The bar offers specialty beers on tap, extra cold bottles and cans, and a variety of liquors and coolers. At Kelly O'Shea's, they enjoy what they do, and they're sure you will too. So come on down, meet some friendly people who love to socialize, and enjoy a warm meal and cold drink at Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill on Main Street in Burlington.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Winter weather advisory in effect noon today to 6 a.m. Thursday. We're looking at cloudy with rain and snow developing mainly after 2 p.m. Becoming all snow after 3. Could see an inch or two of snow possible. Snow and blustery tonight with northwest winds 10 to 15 gusting to 30 miles an hour. An additional inch or two of snow and a low down to 11. And Thursday, steadier, slowly falling temperatures with a chance of snow and patchy blowing snow in the morning and blustery northwest winds gusting to 30 right now. Cloudy skies, 32.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. What coronavirus worries? Record highs right out of the gate for stocks on Wall Street this morning. The Dow up 0.6%, up 190 points. The NASDAQ is up 0.5% now, up 57 points, and the S&P is up 0.5%. It's up 16 points. Investors not worried about the coronavirus or what it might do to the global economy, but Boeing has warned airline profits will take a hit, and OPEC has just slashed its forecast for global oil demand as China's economy slows. Shopify shares are soaring up 8%. The online retailer posted better than expected earnings. It's also raising its full year forecast. Shopify lets small businesses sell goods and services by setting up stores for them on its platform. Shares of CVS Health are higher this morning on better than expected quarterly earnings. Jessica Ettinger, CNB.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news. The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show today. City Council Day today. Linda Graham Murray, Robert Kreitzer, members of the City Council joining us. And also, of course, Colin Letty is across the in the other room, the room across the studio, the other studio, I should say. I'm here in the main broadcast facility or the broadcast studio or the control room, so to speak. But it is one of the things that was, I guess, at least certainly generated some calls and certainly generated some people talking about it, at least in this past month and a half, was a vote to increase salaries of city council members, basically taking the regular council member's salary from $500 a month to $750 a month, and taking the mayor's salary from $550 a month to $833 a month. And we had talked about this a little bit. We talked actually with Shane McCampbell and Annie Wilson about this back a couple of times back in the end of the year, talking about, and Shane was very, very, I said, Shane, so basically you're getting out of the council. He said, I can't afford to be in the council. But I think the question that really came up is, well, how much, in your own opinion, I guess, really in terms of offering an incentive to get people to be able to come into to be willing to serve as a council member? Do you think this does? Obviously, this, I'm going to guess the vote was because the general consensus was that it would enhance that. Is that right, Linda? Are you there?
Am I there? Yeah.
Yeah, no, hello. Well, of course you're there. You're right there. I'm looking at you. No, I mean, I guess the question is,
of course,
own,
we
what was your feeling, your own feelings on that?
Of course we want to see it opened up to more people. I'd love to see more women serve on city council. And sometimes compensation does enter into the equation. I would agree. And I'm going to defer this question to Robert, because he's got some interesting stats
he wants to share. By the way, I will say this, that when we talk about this, this does not go into effect until after the next council
this
election.
Is correct. So I will not see any advantage of this. My salary while I remain on council will remain the same.
Okay. It would change at when the next council election, providing you do continue to serve.
Well, I don't know. I have so many interests. Just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, okay.
We're not going to
make a comment or not going to make a commitment on that. Right. Robert, you said you had some statistics.
And I would like to tell people too, we weren't all in total agreement as a council. We did have a no vote. So, you know, we had people in Burlington were saying it should come to a vote, and it doesn't work like that because it's an ordinance, actually. I had people that, and I got a lot of emails and I had a lot of conversations, so there were people that say that I would need to earn a raise if I was going to have one. Again, it wouldn't take effect till next election. But I did have another email that she said it would be embarrassing if we didn't. It's such a minimal amount of our total overall budget. And then people are talking about CPI. I know Chris Repke, came to us a couple different times and he emailed us, and he was talking about, you know, the average median household income. He was talking about, CPI and all these other things. But really, I got curious. The last two raises were in 1981, and then in 1997. And so just for curiosity's sake, I Googled what was minimum wage in 1981. And what I found out was in 1981, minimum wage went up to $3.35 an hour, and that's when the council decided to increase their pay to $300. They were being compensated for about 22, 23 hours a week at minimum wage.
Okay.
So then in 97, the minimum wage went up again to $5.15. They bumped it up to $500. Minimum wage went up again in 2009 to $7.25, and they sat on it. And I kind of feel that the city wasn't in a good financial position at the time. I know when Jim.
That would definitely be an understatement.
Right. So, but you know, in 2019, to bump it up to $750, it's not going to take effect for another 2 years. You're compensating us for about 25 hours a week at minimum wage,
and
so it falls in line from 1981 till now. And that was why I made that decision.
Well, and I think the other thing is that you serve on a number of committees. And you have a number of meetings that are also going on through the course of the week. Then there's also the preparation time that goes into a city council meeting.
You got to do your homework.
And I know that Shane said if he was getting a dollar an hour, it would be a surprise to him.
You know, Steve, I've never calculated it up because it is a service. And once I start to calculate that up, then it becomes a job. And while I will tell people that it is one of my four part-time jobs, I don't view it in the same way that I need to be compensated and that
Well, and I think
it is service.
Then the definition of public service is something. We have quite a range here in the city between the supervisors, for instance, who receive full insurance benefits and a reasonable salary, not a large one, but a reasonable salary, and to the school board, which has zero compensation, and the largest budget of the entire county. So there is disparity within the way that we perceive, or I guess that public service is perceived. But I guess I think you summed it up. This is it primarily is public service. This does help relieve, or it does help make it more or less objectionable for somebody to decide if they want to
serve.
Right.
Well, I had to use up a bunch of vacation time in January to make all those extra meetings from my normal job. So rather than getting a break and getting a vacation and resetting, I'm committing to extra time and using my vacation to do that. And some of the other responsibilities I have that require me to be away from work would cost us money. And that was Shane's thing too. He's like, you know, if it costs you money to go do something, a former council member reached out to me and he said that he has his own business and he worked alongside everybody else. And he said it cost him $12,000 that first year to be on the council because he had to hire an extra person to do the jobs that he would have normally have done. So I thought that for us to be progressive and for us to, as employers, to treat our employees well, I think.
The other question I would have, and I'm sure that the research was done. Did you see what was in comparable cities of size? How do we rank, or how does our compensation?
I did ask around, Steve. I checked into Iowa City and a Grand. It's a larger community than we are, but they're at 26,000 for their council members. Ottumwa was at 8,000. So.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, okay. It's all over the place, but we were lower than the norm.
Okay.
And another thing that entered in the equation was 2 years ago when the city council elections were opened up, we had 16, 17 candidates vying for three spots. This last election, we only had three people vying for two spots. So we don't know. We had the Citizens Academy optimistically thinking people are going to learn about city government. They're going to just embrace us, and we're going to have this huge, you know, 25 people running, and we only had three. So I think the time commitment was starting to enter into the equation.
And then only 10% of the people voted, and then you get the 90% that get on Facebook and holler at me. And I brought that up with someone too. If you want to be a better employer, which the taxpayer is my employer, and you want me to be a good employee, I would advise you to know why our water bill went up or some of the little questions they were asking me. Like, you should know that information. You're paying that. You should know where your money is going and why. And I'll answer those questions, and that's what I'm here for. But also, if you're going to come at me with criticism, then I would like you to at least approach me from a place of knowledge instead of just reaction.
And Facebook is sort of an open forum. Some people say an open sewer, but that's another story.
I enjoy it. I mean, I keep it kind, and I will always respond to people. Yeah,
but I think that's the issue with Facebook. Respectful discourse is very, very rare in
it
those comment
indeed.
Sections.
We need to take another break. We'll be back with more of our council members and some final words after this.
I'm Michael Bruskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College Basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. Hear Live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
That bright snow-melting sun and the birds chirping means springtime's coming fast. And springtime means project season. Home improvements, landscaping, that to-do list that's been piling up all winter that you've been meaning to get to, but it's never been nice enough and you swear you're gonna get to it. Whew. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Just swing on down to the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd and Sunday, February 23rd. We'll set you up with over 60 of the area's finest experts and vendors all in one place, the Pizzazz Convention and Event Center. You'll be able to see all the latest trends and ideas and get any questions you need answered when it comes to decorating, remodeling, landscaping, farm equipment, pet containment, internet services, and so much more. We've got quite the variety. It's the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd from 10 to 4 and Sunday, February 23rd from 11 to 3. Brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting.
Chest pain isn't the only sign of a heart attack. You could feel discomfort in your jaw, neck, shoulder, arm, or back. Or you might have shortness of breath, lightheadedness, nausea, or vomiting. It's different for everyone. If you think you're having a heart attack, don't ignore the symptoms. Call 911 to get help right away. February is American Heart Month. Great River Medical Center urges you to take care of your heart because your health counts. Learn more about us at greatriverhealth.org.
Now, some people could accuse me of just playing these bumpers just so I get to play a little rock and roll as my old rock and roll DJ's days are. And I did spend a lot of years actually being a rock and roll DJ, believe it or not, before I turned into a talk radio.
They had rock and roll when the dinosaurs were out there.
They really did.
I think you're doing it right. Yeah. You're doing it right. I love every minute of
they
it.
They really did have rock and roll. And actually, the classic rock and roll we have on KQ is a lot of the songs I used to play when they were original hits. But that's another story. The thing that I guess as we look back and you look ahead, in terms of what sort of challenges, you mentioned this is sort of like a learning curve, I'm going to guess, for you, Robert. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. I followed it for 2 years before I ever ran so that I had an idea of who was who and what was what, so to speak. But I would like to see us continue to grow, have infill, and then I would like for us to have more things to do to bring people to Burlington. I like the idea of having visitors in my home.
One of the things that we've talked about is the ways to improve the housing stock and to basically get property values up, particularly in some of the areas of town. We have very low property values, which means we have to have relatively high taxes. So I guess is there any thought or has there been any discussion about what sort of goals can you do to help alleviate that situation, Linda?
One of the programs, Steve, that I want to put out there is our program called Healthy Neighborhoods. So you get together a group of people that live in close proximity, 3-4 block area, and you go ahead and you fill out minimal paperwork and you do some renovations on your home. If you're accepted, you do some renovations on your home. Usually something that's visible from the outside. So porch work, roof work, exterior painting, landscaping, put some solar lighting in. Then you save your receipts, and you can get compensated for up to $1,000 for that work. So I encourage everybody to, hey, I see that lady walking her dog, or I know my neighbor over there, and I know he's always into landscaping. Get together, 4, 5, 6, 7 of you, sign up for that Healthy Neighborhood Challenge, and you can have an extra $1,000. You know, it's a match, so you spend $2,000, you get $1,000 back.
And we've talked about the paint-a-thon and what that does. The fact is that the paint-a-thon has become more than paint. It's become home renewal for a lot of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it also inspires what we've talked about. It inspires people to want to, if you've got somebody with a freshly painted house and maybe a new porch, it'll inspire other people to want to have the same thing. But there's a lot of other things on the plate to deal with, but I'm very happy to have both of you with us today. Robert,
thank you.
Again, and to Linda, thank you both for being with us.
Thank you, Steve. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, and check out the ballet this weekend.
All right.